Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, et cetera, is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
As a proud Catholic, I've never really cared much for atheists. If you're turning your back on God's Christian teachings, then at least have the courage to call yourself a Lutheran.
While individuals have their own religious beliefs and consciences, businesses that employ thousands of hardworking Americans do not.
Hobby Lobby is a family-owned business that doesn't want Washington to be their boss. They believe that abortion takes the life of a child and that every child deserves a chance at life. What's wrong with that?
This fuzzy postmodern sentiment, you know, that intentions matter more than outcomes.
Chaplains deployed to Washington, D.C. absolutely love Issues That Matter.
We are called to set aside our fears, the fears that often beset us, especially when we find ourselves as Christians in a culture. This didn't happen suddenly, by the way, but it feels sudden to many Christians. A culture that seems suddenly to have turned against us. Maybe it's the tide has turned quicker than we anticipated. But we find ourselves in this predicament where our fears, we are tempted to give in to them, especially when it comes to the most important things like preaching the gospel or very important things, but secondary to the gospel, the defending of our neighbor in every circumstance, our neighbor, whoever he or she may be, wherever he or she may be, our tiniest, most helpless neighbors, those that are found in the womb. We are tempted to lose our courage. We are tempted to, let our fears have our way with us, and sometimes that fear is manifest most by our silence. Our willingness to simply not say anything, not raise the subject, not voice an objection. We're going to talk about Christian courage here in the first few minutes of Issues, etc. Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, will be joining us in a few minutes to have that conversation. We're coming to you live this Monday, March the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Through the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking with, as I said, Dr. James Lamb. A little bit later, Dr. Peter Scare will join us in advance of the Annunciation of Our Lord, which the Church observes on the 25th of March. We'll be in Luke chapter 1, the account of Jesus' conception. He's conceived by an announcement. He is conceived by the Word of God coming to the Virgin Mary. This is the virgin conception that will lead eventually to what the Church confesses, the virgin birth. We'll talk about that event, which happens, not surprisingly, 9 months in advance of the celebration of Jesus' birth, December 25th. The 25th of March is the Annunciation of Our Lord, and this being the 24th, we will talk about it with Dr. Peter Scare a little bit later here on Issues, etc. Wendy Wright will join us. We'll talk about a United Nations document on women. She's Legislative Director for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. Then Chris Roseborough will give us another update. The story continues to unfold about Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill. This time, Mars Hill simply deleting a lot of the material that has been called into question due to allegations of plagiarism against Mark Driscoll, the pastor of that congregation in Seattle. Is this the way you deal with it when there are allegations of plagiarism? Do you simply delete the material that's in question from your website? It's harder to do when the thing is actually in physical print, but at their website, whole sermon series have been disappearing. Entire books, if you will, that are available there online at their website, gone. Is that the way to respond to allegations of plagiarism? Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Heals a Blind Man in John chapter 9. Feel free to give us a call over the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Dr. James Lamb is a regular guest. He's executive director of Lutherans for Life. He's author of two articles in the latest LifeDate newsletter, one titled Prepositions for Courage and the other titled Brave or Courageous. Dr. Lamb, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
Before we get started on the subject per se, I do want to ask about your reaction. This is a story that we've been following very closely here at Issues, Etc., the story of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans and their recent decision to, after some, PR debacles, if you will, to simply not fund any pro-life or pro-choice organizations through any means whatsoever. What are your thoughts there, Dr. Lamb?
Well, there's a long history with that, as you very well know, and you've been sharing also with your listeners, Lutherans for Life. It took us a while to finally qualify when they changed their policy to allow members to decide, and then that decision be approved by a chapter. We finally got on the list, but we also knew at the time that would open it up for others, like Planned Parenthood, and eventually one of those got on the list, and that's what really started all of this. So really, given the history, it was not that big a surprise to us that we got cut off once again. It saddens me that so many other groups have, like pregnancy centers and so forth as well. So we've issued a statement, as the LCMS has, and you know, it's out there on our website. But we've been real encouraged by the response of congregations. I know that President Harrison has encouraged congregations to give choice dollars to some of these pro-life ministries, and we've done that in our statement, and it is happening. I'm getting emails and phone calls from pastors saying, hey, my council just approved our choice dollars to go to Lutherans for Life or to this pregnancy center in our area. So we are getting funds from churches that we usually do not get. So, you know, we took about $2,500 a month we were averaging from choice dollars. And we're just praying that God is using this to wake people up, help them see what's going on, and share God's gifts in other ways with us. So we're being positive about it.
Dr. Lamb, you say that there's a difference between courage and bravery. What's the difference as far as you can see?
Yes, that has to do with the LifeDate articles. We wanted to put together a LifeDate that would kind of encourage those who affirm life, and because it can be discouraging sometimes, you know, in our culture, even in our own congregations, we can be discouraged by the reaction of others. So it's a chance to talk about having courage. And so the article I wrote, Brave or Courageous, I tried to make a distinction between those two. Merriam-Webster, for example, defines being brave as feeling or showing no fear. I'm not afraid, and you move forward, kind of like the general leading his army, rallies the troops, and he's, well, you know, a veteran, and he just doesn't have any fear, and he moves forward. I don't think for most of us it's like that. Courage is defined as the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. That's more like me, and I think others. It's not that we have no fear. We sometimes know that it's going to be difficult or dangerous, but then when you move forward anyway, in spite of that, that's courage. It's like the troops who follow the war veteran, the leader. They know what's ahead. They know it's not going to be easy. They know it could be very dangerous, but they follow, and that's courage. That's courage. You know what's happening, but you move forward anyway.
A good Lutheran theology is a theology that pays careful attention to grammar and to even the smallest pieces of grammar that often prove to be the difference between the truth and a lie. Even prepositions, you've written about prepositions for courage. What are they? What do you mean by that?
Well, I went to Moses' encouragement of Joshua. They're at the brink of the promised land, and as we know, Moses was not going to be allowed to lead the people into the land, and that fell to Joshua. And so Moses, in Deuteronomy 31, gives him some words of encouragement. And there are a couple of prepositions that are used. The first is, the Lord will be with you. God's going to go with you, Joshua, when you go over there. And certainly that's very encouraging for us to know that the Lord is with us. And we use that a lot. We say that a lot, the Lord be with you. And, you know, here we have the Lord Almighty, the God of the universe, with us. That's encouraging. But there's another preposition that Moses uses in encouraging Joshua, and that is, the Lord is the one who goes before you. And that's extremely encouraging as well. And we know that the Lord did. When the spies went into the land, remember, they were hidden by the harlot Rahab, and she told them, I know the Lord has given you the land. The fear of the Lord has fallen upon us, and the inhabitants will melt away before you. So God had already gone before the Israelites and instilled fear within the people. So we have these two great prepositions that we can apply. The Lord is with us as we move forward, meeting challenges, but the Lord also goes ahead of us, and that's reassuring as well in a variety of situations.
So does that mean, kind of tying the two aspects of this conversation together, that although we do fear, yet in the face of the fear, we are given courage through God's word? We know the Lord, having gone before us, there really is no reason to fear what lies before us.
Exactly. It's knowing that he goes before us that gives us the courage, in other words, to lay our fears aside and to trust in him. You know, Habakkuk, I quote Habakkuk in the Courageous and Bravery article. You know, he was fearful. He knew that there were going to be wars and devastation in the land. And so he's trembling. You know, his inward parts are trembling, we read. So he's afraid. And yet, and there's another great word in the scripture, yet he's going to trust not in himself, not in his bravery. He's going to trust in the God of his salvation, trusting that God will be with him, trusting that God is already at work in what is going to happen. And this God of salvation, you see, we don't always have the Rahabs to let us know that God has gone before us. Sometimes it doesn't seem like God has gone before us, but he has, in the sense that he has gone before us in Christ, and he's confronted already our greatest enemies of sin and death. And he has taken these, and he's won that victory. And he, as Paul says, he gives us that victory. So the victory over our real enemies, that's already been won. So like Joshua, he moved forward being assured by God that he would have victory. We move forward being assured that victory has already been won. So we're living in victory, not really striving for it. And that's just a great source of comfort and courage in our lives.
When applied to, you know, Christians who know the duty that we have to defend our neighbor, even the unborn, in a culture that, as I said before, where the tide has turned against us perhaps more suddenly than we anticipated in these things, it's sometimes difficult to believe. We are tempted to succumb to the fear that is ahead of us, rather than place faith in the promise of God. Talk about that, if you would, Dr. Lamb.
Sure. It can be a fearful thing to stand up and affirm life, because there are so many out there that do not, belittle that position, as strange as it may seem. And even within our churches, even within our congregations, you know, pastors face parishioners who say, you know, don't ever preach on Life Sunday again, or I'll leave. Those kinds of things. Or pastors on the other side who will say, I'm just not going to deal with these. I'm afraid of what might happen. Parishioners confronting other parishioners, engaging others on these issues. There can be fear of the response. But we have this assurance in God's promises that victory over death and sin, that's been won. And that's a truth that we need to share. And so we get our courage from him and from living in this wonderful victory that he has won. So and so with that courage, there are two things that we need to be doing. We need to be exposing the lies that are out there, sharing the truth, and then also sharing the great hope and love and compassion and forgiveness that we have in Christ for those who have made mistakes and who have sinned against life. So as I've said on your program so many times, the gospel of Jesus is the most powerful and positive, life-affirming message there is in the universe. And this is what we have to share, and this is where the power to change people's hearts and minds lies. And so that gives us great courage, because the message we're working with, it contains its own power to bring change. We shouldn't be afraid to be sharing it.
Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. He is author of two articles in the latest LifeDate newsletter, one titled Prepositions for Courage and the other Brave or Courageous. You'll find a link to Lutherans for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Lamb, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Peter Scare. On this 24th of March, we anticipate tomorrow the church's celebration of the Annunciation of our Lord. The angel appears to a virgin, and the Savior is conceived. In Luke chapter 1, we'll be there with Dr. Peter Scare right after this. What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org.